Kristen Clark Taylor was the first African-American woman to serve as White House Director of Media Relations. She worked for the Bush administration. What made her stand out even more was that she was pregnant during most of her first year on the job. Clark has written a new memoir called The First to Speak, A Woman of Color Inside the White House. Clark grew up in Detroit. Her parents were determined to get her the best education possible and sent her to private school. She says that taught her how to be comfortable around the white establishment. When she was in 10th grade, she decided to go to public school so she could reconnect with black culture. She was on maternity leave from her position on the editorial board of USA Today when she got a call from the White House inviting her to interview for a position as assistant press secretary for Vice President George Bush. She wasn't sure she wanted the job.
I had quite a few misgivings, I think, initially. One is because I was a new mother. This was my first child, and I had not even gone back to my job at USA Today. I was a journalist at USA Today before I joined the White House staff. So it was the inability to pull away from my newborn baby. It was it represented in my life a significant career change. I wasn't quite sure whether I wanted to jump from the world of journalism, which I loved, into the world of White House politics, which I was completely unsure of. And there was also the uncertainty of whether or not Bush would even be elected.
Did you have friends who thought that you were entering the enemy camp when you joined the Bush administration?
Well, I don't know. That's a little dramatic to put it like that. I think that once we got bogged down in the Willie Horton, that whole Willie Horton controversy, that's when some of the hackles started to rise, mine included. And I think that the whole issue of Willie Horton was one that that created some gaps and some fissures between me and a lot of the African American friends that I had that I think have since been resolved. But there was a time during the 1988 campaign when I had to I just grew weary sometimes of having to defend constantly beliefs in which I strongly believed. So Willie Horton, I think, more than anything, that whole thing kind of created some gaps that were uncomfortable at times, but they were surmountable.
How did you defend the Willie Horton campaign?
Well, a couple of ways. One is that a lot of my African-American friends were, the charge that they made was that his face and his color should never have been a part of the campaign. I mean, it should never have been a part of the message that we were conveying. And my response to them was that it wasn't. All of the campaign, the official George Bush for President political campaign ads never once referred to the color of his skin. They referred, as they should have referred, to the atrocity of his crimes and pointed more towards Dukakis's lenient furlough program, which was the focus of our whole, that was what we were pointing to, much more than the color of his skin. That was never an issue. It was never a part of what we were doing. The campaign ads or the ads that were produced that showed his skin and referred to the color of him was completely done by an independent outfit.
You tried to bring a degree of racial sensitivity to the speeches that the president was given. And there was one speech that you were editing in which the word, and I'll use the word nigger was used. And you told the president he really ought to take that word out. Would you tell us the context it was to be used in and why you felt that it should be excised?
Sure. And it's an important context. Bush was referring in the speech to the time when he was running for Congress in Texas, where he was a full supporter of a Fair Housing Act, which would, in many ways, benefit the black population there. And he was referring to the political backlash that he received from many of his constituents for supporting that Fair Housing Act. And I think the words he used were, that many of his white colleagues weren't interested in having the niggers helped or something like that. I do need to get that language exactly right, but that was a context. He was not, he was using that word, but he was also using it to paint a picture that that kind of bigotry was unacceptable in his mind. So he went in with a positive message, yet he was using a very negative word to convey that message. And my response, I just kind of jotted down on the margin of the speech that that word is vile, that it should not be used in any context, and just kind of sent it back to the speechwriter. And we had a, he came down to my office immediately, and we sat down and had a conversation about it, and he asked me the same question that you just asked. Even considering the context that Bush is using this word, isn't it still okay to use it? He's not condoning the use of the word. He's saying that these words should not be used, that these beliefs should not be accepted. And I tried mightily to try to explain to the speechwriter that, again, it doesn't matter about the context. I think that these folks don't want to hear him utter the word, that it's deeper than that, and that it's, you know, that we've gotten way beyond that, that our struggles, we struggled through that back in the 60s, and we struggled through that back in the 70s, and we don't need to hear, you know, that kind of language in any context. But anyway, to make a long story short, the speechwriter did take some of those edits back to the vice president, and I went with Bush to the speech that night, still not having talked directly with him, but as I was standing in the wings, listening to his speech, you know, just butterflies fluttering about in my stomach, wondering, well, is he going to say it or is he not going to say it? To my surprise and to my prideful enjoyment, he had taken everything out.
One of the press briefings that you set up with the president was with magazine publishers, mm-hmm. and Christy Hefner from Playboy was on the list. And much to your surprise, the president was furious, mm-hmm. just furious that someone from Playboy should be invited into the White House. What was his problem?
Well, this I think was the maddest that I've ever seen him, and I did not see him mad often, but it was not a pleasant experience. I walked into the Oval late. Bush was red-faced and just, livid might be a little too strong a word, but he was pretty upset. And I still had not had a chance really to gauge what was upsetting him. There was a couple of other people in the Oval Office, six or seven of his aides were also there. And I walked in, and he immediately turned and said, "Kristen, maybe you can explain this mess." And I thought, he's using a word like mess, and he doesn't use words like mess very often. Something is seriously wrong here. And anyway, so he said to me, "Well, I don't know if you realize this or not, but this is my home. It's not just a place where you come to work every day. This is my home, and I'm looking at this list here, and your guest list has Playboy magazine on it." He was concerned, as he always is, about infringing on or impugning his integrity and his character, and he saw that as being something that was, you know, that crossed the line. Having Playboy into the White House, he thought, was damaging to his integrity, that he didn't think it was the right thing, that he thought that we should have perhaps censored the list more carefully.
Mm-hmm. Kristen Clark Taylor is my guest, and she served as White House Director of Media Relations under President Bush. By the time of the 92 convention, you were in the private sector.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder how you felt about some of the family values discussions during the convention. I mean, I think the message that the Republicans were putting out during the convention was that family values meant that women should have children and stay home and raise them. And here you were, you know, a mother with one young son at home and another child on the way, and you were working up until the last minute.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think more than that, though, I think that the family values that the Republican Party was, you know, that part of their belief, as it is part of mine, is that family values, whether the woman is working at home or whether they're working in the home, are things that should be carried over in everything that we do. I don't think that the workplace specifically wasn't tied to what I believe are family values. I think teaching children and giving them moral compasses is my idea of what a sound moral family value is.
I want to get back to working in the White House again.
Mm-hmm.
You're right that when you were working in the White House at, you know, official dinner functions, you were served mostly by older African-American men, and that made you very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what made you uncomfortable about it, and if you ever kind of spoke to them about it, or whether that would have seemed inappropriate and awkward.
I was brought up not being served by old, dignified black men. I was taught to serve them, to respect my elders, and it just felt uncomfortable having them wipe away my crumbs and mop up my gravy spills. It just felt as though something was out of kilter. It was the respect that I have learned to have for the elderly in my life, particularly for the black men and women in my life, that just didn't feel right. It just felt unbalanced. But there came a moment at one luncheon in the state dining room where I realized, it wasn't quite a revelation, but it was close to it, where I realized that I was blessed by being able to sit there in that dining room with the president sitting directly across from me under the portrait of Abraham Lincoln, and just being well respected by my peers and by the president, and pregnant with my second child, and there was so much positive in my life, and that these men who were serving me saw their own situations as positive. They too felt the same amount of pride in what they did, and that it was actually might have been condescending for me to feel ashamed about them having to serve me. So it was just kind of trying to balance both worlds, and I think in the end that I was able to strike that balance.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Well, thank you. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
My guest has been Kristen Clark Taylor, author of the new book, The First to Speak, A Woman of Color Inside the White House. And she served as the White House Director of Media Relations under President Bush. This is Fresh Air.